few years back, I was a replenishment manager for Walmart. I went to a vendor's building and said that I would not be around for a week because of religious holy days. The vendor started talking about her neighbor, and that was Jewish, who kept those days. She wanted to know if I could turn on my stove and cook and have a fire to keep warm. Her neighbor would ask her to come over and turn up her thermostat on Saturday because she could not do it. Where did the Jews get this idea? Should we be looking at how they do things in order to know how to keep the Sabbath and not transgress the commandments to keep the holy days? This message has three parts. The third part's the best one, but you'll have to wait for that one. First, part one's Jewish reasonings. I'm going to read from some of the 39 Orthodox Jews follow for not breaking the Sabbath. I'm only going to read six of them. The first of the 39 is the rule against caring. This comes from Jeremiah 17:21-22. Take heed and carry no burdens on the Sabbath. Also, do not carry any burden out of your houses on the Sabbath. This is the interpretation given. In a sense, by not caring, we also relinquish our ownership of everything in the world. A main sign of ownership is that one may take something wherever he pleases. On the Sabbath, we give up something of this ownership. Nothing may be removed from the house. When a man leaves his house, he may carry nothing but the clothes on his back. It is God, not man, who owns all things. Well, I mean, the first part, we can readily agree. We need reminders that God does own everything. But the part about only the clothes on your back to be carried, it's what Jesus chastised the Pharisees about for putting burdens, unnecessary burdens, on the people. The quote continues, "This category absolutely forbids all carrying in the street. Even such trivial things as a key or a handkerchief must be left at home. Certainly pocketbooks, purses, wallets, and keychains may not be carried. The only thing one may carry outdoors are the things that are actually worn." The second of the 39 is burning. This involves making a fire or causing anything to burn. Even throwing a toothpick into a fire is considered a violation of the Sabbath under this category. Excuse me. This is a category of work mentioned specifically in the Torah, as we find Exodus 35:3, "You shall not light a fire at home on a Sabbath day." The use of fire is one of the primary ways in which man demonstrates his mastery over nature. Indeed, the use of fire is one of the cornerstones of human civilization. It is fire that allows man to extract energy, his most basic requirement from nature. Thus, in a sense, it is also a prototype of Sabbath work. Obviously, this category forbids such acts as striking a match or turning on a stove. It also prohibits smoking on the Sabbath. An automobile engine works by burning gasoline. Turning on the ignition and stepping on the accelerator causes it to burn. It is therefore forbidden to drive a car on the Sabbath. It's a good thing we can, because that's a long walk. They also have a rule on how many steps are permitted on the Sabbath. And many Orthodox Jews make sure they live close enough to the synagogue that they do not take too many steps. Heating a piece of metal so that it glows is also a category of burning. When an electric light is turned on, its filament is heated white hot, producing light. This is therefore forbidden on the Sabbath. In general, any use of electricity violates the spirit of the Sabbath, since it involves extracting energy from nature. According to many authorities, electricity has the same status as fire with regard to the Sabbath. In any case, the practice of all observant Jews is to avoid turning any electrical appliance on or off. Since the telephone also works by electricity, it should not be used. And I also found that some appliances come with a Sabbath mode. For example, a refrigerator in Sabbath mode, the light bulb will not turn on if you open the door. Then the third of the 39 is extinguishing. This includes extinguishing or lowering the flame in any way. As such, it is opposite of burning. Thus, for example, one may not turn down the gas on the Sabbath. Similarly, it is forbidden to turn off the lights or any other electrical appliance. Thus, for example, one may not turn down the gas, or I'm sorry, the Sabbath, however, may be violated whenever there is a possible danger to human life. Therefore, in case of a fire, anything necessary must be done where life may be endangered. If no life is endangered, you can set buckets of water nearby in hopes that the fire will get extinguished when it gets to it. Can't make that up. This includes, this is 7 of 39, and this is cooking. This includes all forms of cooking and baking. Even boiling water falls under this category. It also includes any form of heat treatment of non-foods, thus melting metal or wax or firing ceramics are all included. The prohibition against cooking does not prevent us from eating hot food on the Sabbath. Indeed, part of our Sabbath joy consists of eating hot food. However, this must be prepared in such a manner that no act of cooking actually takes place on the Sabbath. In order to prevent one from forgetting and adjusting the flame, the stove must be covered with a tin. This must also cover the controls, making it impossible to adjust the flame. Hot cooked food may then be kept on this tin. Under some conditions, it is also permitted to rewarm food that is already cooked. These laws appear very complex when you put it in writing, but they are very simple in actual practice. Their words, not mine. Then the number 20 of 39 is selecting. This includes separating unwanted portions of food by hand. Thus, for example, if one's eating berries, he may not pick the bad ones before eating the good ones. One may, however, eat the good ones and leave the bad. It is likewise permitted to peel fruit and vegetables for immediate consumption. This category also forbids one to pick bones out of fish. This is one reason for the custom of eating gefilte. I believe I said that halfway right, on the Sabbath, since the bones are already removed. If one must remove something inedible, a small amount of food should be removed along with it. And then number 26 of 39 is dying. I mean, they're not talking about passing away. Apparently that's still okay on the Sabbath. But this includes changing the color of any object or substance. Dyeing clothes, painting, mixing paints and dyes all come under the heading. The spirit of this law also prohibits the use of lipstick and eyeshadow. However, there are permanent cosmetics that can be put on before the Sabbath that will last the entire day. Their concluding words at the end of the 39 rules. I mean, they did have some that made sense, but I just picked the ones that really didn't. After reading through the 39 categories of work, you may have come to feel that keeping the Sabbath is an impossibility or an impossibly complex task. The Sabbath is more than a mere set of rules. It is another way of life, completely, totally divorced from the weekday life. When put in handbook form, a different lifestyle may seem very difficult and complex. When lived, however, it is really very easy. A good example is going off to college. Every university prints a catalog telling of all its rules and regulations, and including a list of courses. If your sole impression of campus life were to be based on this catalog, it would seem impossibly complicated. After all, it takes a 200-page book just to describe it, but once you get there, you learn to live it. The same is true of Sabbath rules. You learn to keep the Sabbath by reading books, but that makes it seem impossibly difficult. It is almost like learning about love from a marriage manual. You have to live it to see the true dimensions of beauty. Unfortunately, a lot of these rules do something forbidden by the Bible, and that's adding and taking away from Scripture. Many times in the rules, they mention that they come from the Sanhedrin and call out the one specifically mentioned in the Torah. This is how Jesus spoke of these added rules. Matthew 23:1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works. For they say, and they do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of the garments." Point two, context of verses used to prohibit any fire on the Sabbath. Jeremiah 17:19. "Thus the Lord said to me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, by which the king of Judah come in and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah and all Judea and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as commanded your fathers." The context goes back to the Sabbath commandment of not doing your customary work on the Sabbath, the thing that you do to make a living. From our UCG Bible commentary, rather than the law of God, rebellious idolatry, including pagan offerings and Asherah worship, was ingrained in the heart and inner character of the people of Judah, being passed down from one generation to the next. This is much like the sin of modern Israelite nations. Christmas trees and other pagan traditions are clung to so tightly as to be considered part of the very heart of the people. Again, passed down through the generations. But there are clearly things we should not be doing on the Sabbath, as the fourth commandment in Isaiah 58:13 makes clear. The burdens Jeremiah spoke of, referring to the typical errands of the people, for instance, lugging wares home from the market, and the work of the people were doing, referred to their regular business or household responsibilities. This all should cease, so as to observe God's holy time, from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. Sadly, Israel and Judah both had a terrible record when it comes to keeping God's Saturday Sabbath. Ezekiel 20 makes it clear that the two main sins of Israel in the past were idolatry and Sabbath breaking, and that they had been severely judged for these. Now their continued violation of the Sabbath will be met with judgment again. With such strong declarations from God about the Sabbath, it is utterly foolhardy to think and teach, as many do today, that the Sabbath can be changed to Sunday and that it no longer matters. It obviously mattered a great deal to God and still does. it should likewise matter to us. A lot of the rules of the Sanhedrin were made to address the issues and made sure no one came close to violating the law as a Sabbath. They knew they had gone into captivity due to the breaking of the Sabbath, but the end result, as Jesus called them out, was that it became a burden rather than a blessing to the people. If you'll turn to Exodus 35:3, it's already been mentioned previously, but Exodus 35:3, you shall kindle no fire throughout your dwelling on the Sabbath day. You have to go to the context of this verse to get the meaning. This was before the start of all the instructions for building the tabernacle in the wilderness. God was restating through Moses the admonition to not build a fire in the work of the smelting or creating any of what was to follow in the instructions for building the sanctuary. From the UCG Bible Commentary, a long-held Jewish interpretation is that it was wrong to start any fire on the Sabbath, such as a fire in a fireplace or just lighting a match. On the basis of this verse, some even argue it is not permissible on the Sabbath to light a stove, turn on an oven, or use any electrical device with a heating element, such as a hairdryer. Others go so far as to say you can't even start your car or even turn on the light switch in God's weekly holy day. There certainly may be a need to limit personal fire usage. A major fire maintenance can certainly become a violation of the Sabbath if a great deal of obvious work is involved. For example, like moving a bunch of logs or having to chop up the wood to burn it, or gathering a whole bunch of it just to start the fire, such as in Numbers 15:32. However, this passage occurring at the beginning of Moses' relaying of the instructions for building the tabernacle is referring to tabernacle construction. God, it appears, was telling them not to kindle an industrial fire on the Sabbath, to melt silver or gold or forge other metals for the construction of the tabernacle. All industry was to cease, even the special work of building the tabernacle, so people could give full attention to resting and worshiping of God on the Sabbath as he commanded. So let's turn to Numbers 15, starting in verse 32 through 36. Numbers 15:32 through 36. Now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside of the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. This was not simply gathering of kindling for a fireplace. Moses had to go to God to see what the sentence should be. Go back to verse 30. But the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is native born or stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people. Because he despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment, that person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him. Then it goes into the text about the man who did a presumptuous sin. He deliberately was doing his work in violation of the Sabbath. The sentence was death. Now part three, the best part, the conclusion. We do not need to look to Orthodox Jews to see how to worship God. They were already getting off track 2,000 years ago when Jesus chastised them for making the Sabbath a burden and actually driving people from the knowledge of the truth. The Bible instructs us how to keep the Sabbath, to do no customary work. It's not requiring that we not lift a finger to turn on a light or to drive a car to services. These are added burdens that take away from the joy of the Sabbath and put the focus on rules rather than the worship.